for the word tonight. Everybody having a good day? Well, let's get started. All right. Have we got that slide ready to put up when I tell you? Yeah, the image, yeah. Okay. Sunday morning, we had an individual here from Columbia, South Carolina. Is that right about where Nicole is? And he introduced himself to me at the beginning of service as a pastor. And he said his church is aligned with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, affiliated with them. And I said, well, it's good to have you. And so I shared the message afterwards. He came up and said he enjoyed it. And then he said, I've emailed you an image to your website, or I mean to your email for the church. He said, we had a situation, I guess it was last year, where we had a 1,000-year flood in Columbia. Wasn't 100 years, it was a 1,000-year flood. And we had never had a rain like it before, hadn't been one, you know, forever. And my pastor, his pastor, has said he was awakened. He only lived just, I guess, a few blocks from one of the rivers that had flooded. And he was awakened at night, and they had a home security system with cameras. And as he's looking at the cameras, he noticed an image. And so I want you to put that image up here. That's his front yard. There's cars. Can you see that? We have a flaming hand. Thumb, fingers reaching out. And he said that the image there was there for 3 hours. They recorded it off of his VCR. I don't believe all that. Listen, you can believe what you want to, but I believe in angels. And if I remember right, this date was October 3rd of last year. What happened was, is he said, I can't tell you the whole story right now, but what happened is the waters came up to our street and came to that house and parted around it, and none of the houses on our street got flooded. And they washed and watched the waters where they should be flooding over everything, and they were being stopped. And did major devastation all around except to that street. And so this article, if you want to read it, is actually in Kenneth Copeland's magazine last month. They don't have the image shown. He sent me the image, but it's about this pastor from Columbia that this took place in. And that story blessed me because I've seen this happen before myself. I've never seen a flaming hand. But I once prayed when we were building Apostle Callahan's house. And they had dropped off a load of material, and it was they set it outside. And I knew I had to get it indoors or it was going to flood. I mean, or it was going to ruin if it got rained on. And here came a flood. Have you ever seen the walls of rain coming at you? I said, God, I need help here. And I just felt the Lord say, rebuke it. So I rebuked the rain, and I said, rain, you will not rain on this property. And this would have been 1995. And I need time to get this stuff indoors. So I watched the rain coming up, and I'm moving stuff indoors, and all of a sudden the rain hits his fence line, and stops. I watched it. I mean, we're talking about it's here. It's from here to what's the store down here? Dress Barn or something? I don't know. It was close. It stopped. And Sears, I guess. A little further than that. And so I got all the material in. The storm passed by. I mean, it was a big storm. Passed by. And I'm looking at the storm stop this direction. And when it was time for me to leave, I had to drive out this direction. And I drove all the way down his long driveway. I mean, he's got a long driveway. And there was no rain on the drive until I got to the street and hit the next fence line. And it was soaked. It stopped at this fence and it stopped at that fence. It formed a square and did not rain on that property. Well, I don't believe all this stuff. I was there. I mean, and I'm building the apostles' house. God showed up, I'm telling you. And so our church built that house, and I was the general contractor as far as oversight on it. And God did a miracle. So I believe these things. I also believe we're coming to a time we're going to need this in our own lives. You're going to need the ministry of angels. And so when I saw this and I read the article, I just felt led of God to spend the next few Thursday nights, maybe two, maybe four, teaching on angels. Because I believe we make a mistake as Holy Ghost end time Christians, not being aware of angels moving around us, not calling on their assistance, not believing in their intervention. The truth is, we all have major guardian angels around us. I've had now more than one time, in fact, I don't know how many times now, people say, I've seen your guardian angel. We had one night when we hadn't been in this building very long, and we had a leadership meeting, and Grace, you and Aaron, I think, were there, and Galen saw the angels. Remember she sat there? And one of the ladies all of a sudden just goes like, she's dumbfounded, saying, my God, God's opened my eyes. I'm looking at angels. And she sat there, for an hour, hour and a half, staring at the angels? And she said, there's angels all around us. Each one of you have guardian angels. And she said, Pastor Jake, yours is huge. Well, I need a big one. I make enough mistakes that I need someone to take up some slack. Thank you, Jesus. It's been about 3 years ago. I was grinding with an angle grinder and with a cutoff wheel. Now, angle grinder is one of those things that goes, and it's got a metal cutting wheel. And I was wearing some really floppy pants. I mean, they're real light, I don't know what you call it, almost a very thin material and a real baggy. And I wasn't paying attention. I'm cutting, and those things hung my pants. And that thing went across my leg like that. I mean, went across it. I was concerned about looking. I mean, wrap my pants up in it. It's going across my leg. And I don't know if it's cut me to the bone. I don't know what's going on, but I know it went across there. And I felt it. I slapped my hand and says, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. And so I unraveled the thing and pulled my pants. I mean, it just chewed holes all in everything. And opened it up. And it cut a slice across my leg. I mean, just like another, probably that long, and never made it beyond the first level of skin. I mean, it bled just a little bit, but it never even cut into any meat or nothing. And Patty can tell you, she saw it. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And if I can say this and not sound crude, I was so glad where it hit. Amen. And so, praise God. Smeared some Neosporin on it or something, went back to work. I was fine. But I tell you what, I believe an angel. I believe I put a bunch of them to work. He's probably going, I got that grinder. We'll let him know it was there, but not anymore. I've had time and time again, I am convinced angels were there to protect me. I mean, last year, that last winter, sliding on the ice at 50 mile an hour backwards in a spin and don't even really mess up the truck at all. I'm talking about Georgetown Road, 50 mile an hour, hit black ice, and I'm doing this. And when I finally started to go off the road, hit the bank, bounced out, hit it again. I started my truck up, took off, and it was fine. She had to clean the mud off of it. And that's happened to me more than once. I don't want to go into all the stories. Angels are real. Now, some of you are here today because angels. Either you or somebody else is praying angels on your behalf. My goodness, Patty, before she was saved, she had some mishaps. And angels had to be at work. Just had to be at work. She totaled a car one night, passed out the wheel, totaled it. went into a ravine, hit whatever, I don't know, went into a fence, in a ditch, came out of the seat, didn't have a seatbelt on, I guess, caved in the passenger door with her head and was basically unhurt. In fact, when the police showed up, they said, "Are you okay?" And she says, "I'm fine." And then the police started hitting on her. Policeman. So, angels. And of course, the policeman thought he'd seen one. I sit home, I did it today. I just stare at her. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm drinking in your beauty." I don't know whether to go down this vein or not, but we'll do it for fun. Can we just have fun tonight? I've told her, "Patty, I have a theory. That once people have been married for some time, like an extended period of time, God freezes how they see their mate as eternally beautiful." Because she'll say, "Man, you look good." And I'll look in the mirror and think, "What are you looking at?" And I'll say, "Man, you look splendid." And she'll say, "Are you sure?" I said, I see the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. Now, either we really do look good, or there's God does something in your eyes to make you think your spouse always looks good. Because I see people on Facebook all the time posting pictures of their spouse and saying, "Don't they look great?" And I'm going, one of us aren't seeing the same image. Not picking it, you follow me? But I'm going, you might want to try a different picture. Hope I didn't get in trouble with that one. But every time I see my wife, I think I'm looking at an angel. I think God has done that in my eyesight. Unless she's chewing me out. Then it's like the veil is lifted for a short time. We better move on. Angels are mentioned all through Scripture. Now, most times when you see the word angels, it's actually talking about angels. Sometimes when you see the word angels, it's talking about Jesus. Amen. As an angel of the Lord. Sometimes the word angel of the Lord is Jesus. Other times it's actually an angel of the Lord. And even there's some occasions where it uses the term angel and it's actually pastors. Because in the New Testament, the word angel means messenger. And at times where it's talking about an angel, it's actually a pastor. So I want to look at a few of these instances to begin with. Turn to your Bibles to, because I want you to see, we're going to take some time going through this. I want you to see how many times the word angel appears in Scripture. We're not going to look at all of them, but we're going to see it's in there a lot. So turn to Genesis chapter 16. So tonight we'll be primarily setting the foundation. Next week we'll be going into more of the details of specific assignments of angels, how they operate and interact in our lives. And by the way, I left out a commercial during the announcements. We started Sunday night showing the David Barton videos on the foundation, Christian foundations of this nation. We called it a family night, asked people to bring a snack, and the first time was a blowout service. Come to those services. You will not be sorry. We had a great, great time. And the church said, amen. Genesis chapter 16. And let's go to verse number, I don't want to read this whole thing. Verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, now here we have Hagar and Ishmael. Remember when Sarah told Abraham to go, or Abram at the time, to go into her handmaid? She gave birth to Ishmael. And after Ishmael's born, all of a sudden Sarah's not happy with the situation. So she's complaining to her husband about it. I'm sure he got fed up with it. So finally in verse 6, he said, but Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. Now, I believe Abraham passed the buck there. But basically, he says, do what you want to do. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain of the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself. And the angel of the Lord said, look at verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael. This is before Ishmael was born, I guess. Here we have an occurrence repeatedly of the term the angel of the Lord. In this case, this is not an angel. This is Jesus in a pre-incarnate form, in a Christophany, and in an appearance before he was born to Mary. And we know this has got to be a theophany because he says, I will multiply thy seed abundantly. Angels do not have that ability. So this is an appearance, I believe, of Jesus in human form to Hagar before he came and dwelt as a man. Amen. Now, we had this happen several times. Let's look at a few others of them. And it's important you recognize the difference, otherwise you'll get confused on how we're to deal with angels. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. And here we have Abraham about to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Verse 10 says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou wast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now here we see another appearance, or at least the calling out. It says an angel of the Lord, but this is God. Because an angel's not tracking whether he fears God or not. This is God himself saying, now I know thou fearest God. So again, we're seeing occasions where God came to earth as a messenger, where he came to earth in human form or an angelic being type form to minister to humanity. Genesis chapter 31. Is this okay with you? Genesis 31. Let's go to verse number 11. And it's talking about Jacob fleeing Laban. Verse 10, and it came to pass, let's go to verse 10, and it came to pass at that time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle, ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar. Do you see this? Now here it says, without a question, this angel of the Lord, as he's named, is actually God. Most likely Jesus ministering unto him. So again, we have the occasion where an angel is actually God. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. I love knowing he gives his angels charge over me to bear me up in all my ways, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, we'll read on down. Verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And then God continues speaking with him about the afflictions of Israel. Here again, this angel of the Lord appearing out of a bush is obviously God appearing. It blesses me to know that God is so involved and focused on human events, he would come and appear personally in one form or another to his representatives. And I want to assure you, if God appeared in angelic form in the days of Moses, in the days of Abraham, in the days of Jacob, I can assure you he's going to appear in some fashion today. Now the good news is, I believe even better news is, they were not born again yet. They did not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Did not have the ability to have confirmation of the Holy Spirit by the peace of God within. They needed to have angelic visitations. We really don't have to. We're to be led by the Spirit of God within. But I can assure you, in these end times, angels are going to be at work on our behalf. And at times, God may appear. I believe it's now been about 10 years ago that God appeared to me sitting on my couch at home when I got up to pray. And that's when he gave me the message how he's bringing forth a partnership in the end times between the business community and the church to bring forth the glory. God has a plan. And he uses personal opinions, personal appearances, and angelic appearances to activate and pass on that plan. Judges chapter 6. My goal in this message, in this series, is to create such an awareness of angels out of the Word that we walk with a continual expectation of them to move on our behalf. To protect us from harm. To get us where we need to go safely. To strengthen us. To inform us. And we're going to see that Jesus even had the angels ministering in his life. Judges chapter 6, have you got it? Now we have the story of Gideon. And let's go to verse number 12. Well, let's back up to verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertaineth to Joash and the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. At this time, Israel has fled to the mountains because of the enemy attacking. They virtually drove Israel out of their homes, out of their fields, and Israel was hiding in the high places to escape their persecution. And I've heard people talk about Gideon being a coward because he was hiding by the wine press. And God came and used a coward to lead Israel. But as I read the story, I don't see that. Because it says he's by an oak that belonged to the land of his father. And he's at the wine press. and that land was not in the mountains. That land, that wine press was not in the mountains. Everybody else has fled to the mountains. But Gideon has come down and said, that's my harvest. And he snuck back down, despite the danger, to get what's rightfully his. And I believe an angel, actually God, showed up and said, here's one I can use. They'll go beyond. They're going to go through fear to possess what belongs to them. And God called him then to be a deliverer unto Israel. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now some have said in the past, that's a faith statement. He called him a mighty man of valor when he was a coward. No, he was coming down. Everybody else is in hiding. He's coming down to get his. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Now it started off calling him the angel of the Lord. And again, the word angel means messenger. It calls him the angel of the Lord. But when we get down to verse 14, it says, and the Lord looked upon him. You will never find an angel being named or referred to as the Lord. This was an appearance of God in human or angelic form. Amen. To give Gideon this great assignment. I believe sometimes God has to show up in angelic form or some type of miracle form just to get our faith level to a high enough level to be willing to obey him on great things. I mean, some things are going to stretch your faith to the breaking point. If you haven't had some type of natural confirmation or representation to assign it to you, you may bail out and run. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your angels. I have never seen an angel. But Patty has. On a couple occasions, isn't it? Yeah, on a couple occasions you've seen angels. And I'm just curious. How many of you here actually ever seen angels before? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I see 8 people raise their hands. Now, you're not talking about your wife, right? What a blessing from God to have that take place. Amen? And what a confirmation to know his kingdom is real. This imparted to you. Amen. But you know, even though you've seen angels, we have a more sure word of prophecy. This word confirms to us that God is real. And the Spirit he's given to us makes us know that his moving in our life is real. Amen. However, go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, have you got it? Talking about Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, it says in verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And so here we have an occurrence of an angel appearing to Zechariah. Now, if we go on down to verse 18, it says, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. Now we have this angel of the Lord. Remember, it was angel of the Lord up in verse 11. But now he says, I have a name, it's Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God, and have sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Here this angel came as a messenger to announce to Zacharias he was going to have a son. Amen. Now, why couldn't he have just had the son and not have to have the angel? Personally, I believe because the call of John was so great, his parents had to know through this confirmation how great he was to prepare him for what was coming. Do you follow me? I mean, they had to know this angel showing up, let them know this was going to be a special child, and he even had a word to prep them for his future. But it says, I'm Gabriel. This occurrence of the angel of the Lord is not the Lord God or Jesus. So when you see the angel of the Lord in any reference, even sometimes the term angel, it may not be referring to an actual angel. And you need to read the passage in its context to get the full understanding. Right? And I'll tell you what, I invite both of them to visit me. If God wants to visit me, praise God. If angels want to come and have a personal visitation, you're welcome as well. As long as you're not a fallen angel. Amen. Which we will get to before we're done. Acts chapter 12. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The church is praying for Peter. Now keep that in mind, because this is just an interesting story. The church is praying for Peter. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord, there it is again, came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Now here we see that angels have their own lights. I'm curious if they're halogen or LEDs or just standard incandescent. Or just glory comes off their hand, whatever, right? Saying, arise, I'm sorry, a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. This is some power right here now. Chains fall off of him. It makes you wonder. It says they fell off. It doesn't say the angel broke them. Right? It says he just fell off. Now, I'm an engineer. I think in terms of mechanics of things. What caused him to fall off? Was there another invisible angel that pulled him apart? Could be. I don't know. Maybe there was a visible angel and an invisible angel. Maybe the angel just had the ability to speak or, you know, motion to the chains and they just fall off. Authority over natural substance. But something had to activate those chains falling off. Amen. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thyself and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. So now we see the angel of the Lord. Peter says, I know God has sent his angel. This again is an actual angel, not an appearance of God himself. And the chains fell off. We're going to see before we're done the massive amount of power that angels carry. And we have a right to tap into that power. Amen. But I want to read on through the story just for a minute because this always amuses me. Now remember, in verse 5 it says they were making prayer for Peter night and day without ceasing. Right? It says in verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, I'm sorry, I read that. Verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Who were they praying for? For him, right? For Peter. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Because apparently God didn't really answer our prayers. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now, I love this story because it makes me feel good, or at least better, about my own expectations sometimes. How many beside me have ever prayed for something and then were surprised when it happened? Or when you're praying and you have to question, is this really going to work? You know, we pray for the nation. We pray for leaders. We pray for increase. We pray for breakthroughs. God, for the glory, when's this going to happen? But I'm telling you what, God is not mocked. What you sow, you reap. He answers prayer. And the glory is coming to this church. And it's coming to your lives. And God's going to perfect the thing which concerns you. And God's going to protect you. He's going to astound you in these end times. If God astounded the disciples and he had Peter delivered supernaturally by angels that appeared to him, how much more in these end times is God going to have angels appear to us and minister to us? Wake you up and say a mob's coming to your house. They intend to kill you tonight. Come with me. And he leads you to this motorboat going up the river. Hey, whatever happens, if we'll place a demand on the things of the kingdom, including angelic intervention, we'll see it. You have not because you ask not. We ask not because we either don't know or don't have enough expectation for it to work. And again, this message, this series is intended to increase our expectation. Again, I love Psalm 91 talking about angels watching over us, right? Bearing us up. How many quote that over your life? Does anybody else beside me quote that over their lives? I quote Psalm 91 over my life all the time. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near my dwelling place, right? And then when something happens, we're going like, wow, it really worked. Nancy talks about a year ago, you hit that black ice, right? On the interstate, doing how fast? 55 on the interstate, hit black ice, and car started spinning. Went down the road backwards. Truck coming at her. Did you hear that? All of a sudden flipped her around the right way, pulled her to the side of the road, and parked her perfectly on the side. I'm telling you what. I know someone whose car went off the road, off a bank, and all of a sudden something snatched the car and brought it back onto the road. Thank you, Jesus. But this doesn't happen to everybody. It happens to people speaking the word and expecting the word to manifest, right? Angels, they're not God, they're created beings. Go to Job 38. Job 38. All right, come on, pages. And God's speaking to Job at this point. And it says in verse 4, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Now, that's just an interesting verse right there. For man to rise up and think he's all of that, for man to come forth and, you know, believe that, you know, they know more than God, or they now believe God doesn't exist. My goodness, you don't have to go very far online to find how many ignorant people posting that they don't believe there's a God. And God's saying, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" You heard the story about the scientist that challenged God to a contest to make a man, right? Have you heard that one? Scientists sometime in the future got so smart and so skilled, they thought they didn't need God anymore. And they said, we just said, "Hey, we don't need you anymore. We can do anything you can do." And God says, "Well, can you make a man?" He says, "Certainly, we're pretty sure we can make a man." And God said, "Okay, well, let's have a contest so you can make a man." So the scientists went out and they collected all this dirt they were going to use to process to make, you know, what they needed to make a man. And God shows up and God sees the pile of dirt and he says, wait, you got to get your own dirt. I mean, where were you when I created the earth, God's saying. Who are you to mouth off at me? That's really what he's saying is, who are you to run your mouth at me? Have you as parents had that one before? Listen, young man. You better watch. Don't you know who brought you into the earth? I remember the story of Bill Cosby told years ago. It wasn't on one of his records, I don't believe, but it was a story he was telling about growing up. And he said one time he thought it'd be funny to pull the chair out from under his dad when he sat down. And apparently when his dad hit the floor, he didn't find it so funny. And he told Bill Cosby, he said, "Young man, you don't understand. I can take you out and make another look just like you." I'm sure that's God's opinion, right? Hallelujah. I'm trying to stay out of a political statement right now. We'll keep advancing forward. Some people get charged, some people don't. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. And so, verse 5. "Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line thereof? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, in this case, the sons of God are not man, because man was not there when he laid the foundations of the earth. He had not been created yet. These sons of God are the angels. Angels are created beings, but they were there at the creation of the earth and had a party seeing what God was about to do. I tell you what, they're about to join in the greatest party the world's ever seen. There was a party when Jesus came on the scene on earth. Remember the angels celebrating? We'll see that in a minute. But we're about to have an angelic, phenomenal celebration when God finishes this work. We've had many people say it. Some have seen it. Many have heard it. That when we start worshiping God in here, we hear choruses of angels. Sometimes Friday night prayer, we hear choruses of angels. There are times I've heard a worship team, and I would swear there were 40 people up there. Just the sound of heaven coming forth. China had that situation Sunday morning. She was in tears coming up when she was hearing the music. She wasn't hearing just the musicians we had. She said she was hearing a sound from heaven. Is there? like a whole choir coming forth. Not one voice. She sound like one voice. Amen. One person. As God's praising church rises up. See, God's church is going to... I'm going to get ahead of myself, but when Satan fell from heaven, he was the worship leader. And man has been appointed to fill that spot. So when we worship God, angels join in unison with our praise. And what's going to happen is this end time church rises up in a united praise towards God. I mean, round the clock prayer, praise, and worship. What do you think the angels are going to be doing? Having the party of all eternity. See, think about it. When you're praising God at home, your angels are joining in. If you're playing some other, you know, stupid music, they're going like, oh no, is he going to play that stupid thing again? They want to praise with us. The morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Colossians chapter 1. Are you getting anything out of this so far? Can we just lay a foundation today? That may be laying foundation for a couple weeks on this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, through Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Now this would include man and angels. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He's the head of the body of the church. Here it says Jesus created all things seen and unseen, including the angels. The principalities and powers mentioned here are names often attributed to angelic powers. And God made it all for Himself. But He said, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but He said, the angels I've made for Me, I'm going to assign many of them to aid the church in the assignment I have for them. So the angels serve Jesus, but He's assigned them to respond to your words and directives. Think about it for a minute. God's given specific angels over your life. I believe everybody on earth has at least one guardian angel. A lot of them are sitting, you know, they might as well go on vacation, not being used, but everybody has one, if not several. I personally believe I've got several angels assigned to me. Somebody say they've seen three. And think about it. Creator God gave angels to watch after just you, specifically assigned to you. It'd be a downright shame for us not to put them to work, to give them something to do. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something in me that if I'm working for somebody, I can't stand to sit still. Some people, they're working for somebody, they can't wait to get on break. They can't wait to hide out, can't wait to do nothing. Me, when I'm working for somebody, I want to be doing it. I used to bug my bosses all the time. When I run out of work, I say, I don't have anything to do. What do you want me to do? And it'd get annoying to them. I'll bring you something, or it'll show up, or go do that, you know, give you some busy work. I learned just to go ahead and find something to do versus go to them and bug them. Because if I'm serving someone, I don't want to waste the time. And I believe that's the attitude of angels. They want to do something. I mean, think about it. We don't know if they really have swords or not. But think about it as an angel. You got this nice, sharp sword, shined up, polished, and you never get to use it. You got these guns, make Arnold Schwarzenegger look like a wimp. I mean, bulging like this, like the commercial I saw, you know, like I had. And you're like this, and you're going like, man, if I just had something to lift, if I had something to move, if I could just do something. And as human he's assigned to, never uses him. So he says, I guess I'll just polish my sword again. Just polish it again. Go lift me some more weights. And never get to do anything. Man, you want to use the tools you've got. Yeah. Right? And what a tool we've been given through giving angels. Praise you, Jesus. Psalm 104. And let's go to let's start at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Now there's a geek conference verse right there. Who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. Did you know now that astronomers, physicists, you know, that study the universe have all declared the heaven appears to have been stretched out and that it's still expanding outward. And here says right in the word that God stretched out the heavens. In fact, if you've ever heard of stars having a light shift, a red shift in light, it's a result of light being stretched out. God put this thing into operation. And then it says, verse 3, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Verse 4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth. It says his angels are spirits. They're spirit beings. However, they have apparently at times, if not all the time, the ability to appear visibly. I heard Kenneth Copeland saying the Lord showed him one time that everything in the spirit realm operates above the speed of light. Everything in this realm operates below the speed of light. And angels, by slowing down their vibratory speed or whatever, are able to appear visible. I don't know the physics behind that or whatever, but basically angels can appear visible. I'm just looking at an angel. They are spirit beings. They populate heaven. Amen? They have to come to earth to take care of us. I've said it many times. I believe they get to go back to heaven on vacation. Take a rest from some of the bonehead stuff I do. Amen? Oh, God, he's getting out the grinder again. No, don't fire up the chainsaw, not the chainsaw. I'm having flashbacks now of all the times I've had power tools try to get away from me, and I still have all my limbs. God at work. Angels at work. Genesis, well, we looked at some of these. We saw some of the occurrences where angels appear as a, you know, invisible form. Look at Matthew chapter. Well, I don't want to go there right now. Angels are also holy beings. We're going to cover this before we're done, just for a second. Isaiah chapter 6. I've got a bunch here, and I'm trying to figure out what to cover with the few minutes we have left. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. You talk about a garment. God's train fills the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Six-winged created being. Seraphim. And one cried unto another. Many say these are, you know, a type of angel. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Now look at this for a second. Here are angels that are assigned just to call out how holy God is. Holy, holy, holy. And you think God winks at churches that think you can sin willfully? And it's okay? In other words, run around, sleep around, drug around, whatever, and it's okay? No, these angels recognize God's a holy God. You want to be with God? You have to make an effort to alter your lifestyle to align with the Word of God. I picked up a young man yesterday. He was hitchhiking in Lexington, and I told him I was going to Georgetown. He says, well, just drop me off here on Paris Pike. I'll catch a ride to Paris. I said, you're going to Paris? I'll take you to Paris. So I took him to Paris and started ministering to him. And he goes to church every Sunday. His six-year-old daughter makes him go. He's a past drug user, said he's clean now. At least he alluded he's trying to be. And he said, I go to church, but I don't always, you know, follow through with it. I don't really, you know, live it like I should. I said, well, God's not a halfway God. You need to make up your mind. So I'm not trying to condemn you, but God's not into this. You know, hey, just give it your best shot. I hear people tell me all the time, me and God have an understanding. Well, I understand the Word, and your understanding is not going to violate the Word. So there's a necessity to move towards holiness with your life. Do you see this? But I want you to see this. As he cried, holy, 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 the whole place was filled with smoke. I believe angels, listen to me, I'm about to say something key. I believe angels play an integral role in bringing forth the glory and a manifestation among us, as well as holiness. And I'm telling you, we have times on prayer sessions, Friday night prayer, morning prayer, whatever, where we are worshiping God and praising God, and a holy atmosphere fills the place. And you don't hardly want to move for violating what God's doing. I mean, for interrupting it. You don't want to take a single step without thinking, oh, I don't want to do anything to interrupt this manifestation of His presence. And I believe as God moves in like that, angels are all around going, holy, holy, holy. And the glory cloud begins to fill the place. I believe angels play a role in the manifestation of God's glory among us. If for no other reason than to announce, this is a holy place, bring it on. And this will be a holy church, right? Not saying we do everything perfect, but we're targeting it. Amen? So God has given us right to utilize angels, to call upon angels, to believe for their strengthening power. And in this teaching, I'm hoping by the time we're done, we're all going to be alert for angels around us and what they're doing. Did you get anything out of this? Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Your question was, can we command angels? I really don't. I'm trying to think if I do at times or not. I think we have a right to do that. But I tend to speak to things and expect angels to back it up. You follow me? Huh? Father, I thank you for your protection. Everything I do today, you give your angels charge over me. And I expect them to back up the word that I've spoken. There, if I was to think through, there's probably times I command things done. And I may be speaking to angels, but by and large, I'm speaking the word and expecting angels to back up the word. Because we're going to see, it says they hearken to the word of the Lord, to the voice of the Lord. And so I tend to go that route. Do you get anything out of this? Share the love of Jesus. Be a blessing.